You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, those of us who call Wisconsin home know that all seasons and landscapes have their own charms and appeal. Our guest poet talks about cultivating a sense of wonder in Wisconsin's nature and farmland.
First, thanks to many medical advances, better access to healthy food and safer homes and workplaces, people in the United States are living longer. But one group has seen declining life expectancy rates for several decades, middle-aged white people and white women in particular.
Dr. Patrick Remington joins us now for a look at why this is happening. He's a professor and associate dean in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also a member of the Wisconsin Medical Society's Board of Directors. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, let's talk these trends, mortality trends. Usually we like to see them obviously going down. And big picture in the United States, that's still the case, right? Mortality trends for most groups are in a general downward direction. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's been a good thing. When you look at death rates, not just the number of deaths, but the rate, number of deaths per unit population, we have seen steady declines at all ages, except obviously the very oldest ages.
So that's what makes this story so strange. White women in particular, their death rate is going up.
Yeah, well, what the authors did, Case and Deaton, did in their study was to slice and dice the mortality data in many, many different sections, not just for the United States, but by age group, and then also by social and economic status, by race. And when they got done, they noticed that the general trends that we see with declining death rates were not the case in people 45 to 54 years of age, that middle age group, in particular whites, not so much minority population. So it's really an exception to the general trend of improving life expectancy and declining death rates.
Now, before we get into that increase in the death rate for that particular group, big picture, white people tend to live longer. They have lower death rates at that middle age than minority communities. Is that right?
Almost at every age except the very oldest ages, whites have longer life expectancy, lower death rates than blacks and Native Americans. Hispanics and Asians, it depends on the age group and some of the issues of how race is classified. But in general, Native Americans and blacks have higher death rates and lower life expectancy compared to whites.
But we're seeing improvement in those other categories and backsliding among these, like what we could call middle-aged white women in particular. Is that right?
Yeah. Again, it's what men and women, but middle-aged whites, the mortality rate is going up. Again, the mortality rate or the death rate among minority populations is much higher in that age group.
Right.
But it's seeing a progressive decline, an improvement in the death rate, unlike what we're seeing in white middle-aged men and women.
So that's alarming. Let's start looking at the reasons for this increase in the death rate for middle-aged white men and women. A lot of the focus in the reporting has been on women, but both. What kind of factors are doing this in the midst of what I thought was generally improving health in this country?
Well, in general, death rates are fairly low in the middle age. When you get to be 65 or 75 years of age, death rates increase, certainly by life expectancy. By definition, half of people in that cohort have died. But 45 to 54, we don't see very many deaths occurring. So an increase in relatively uncommon causes of death can be noticeable. And what's been seen is a dramatic increase in three different types of causes of death. One is suicide, two is accidental poisonings, and three is liver disease. And if you think about those three causes of death, although they're really pretty different, they have underlying similarities in that they result from self-destructive behaviors, opioid use and addiction, alcohol abuse, and also depression and using lethal means to commit suicide.
I want to specify accidental poisonings. Would that include some kind of overdose or combination of medications and alcohol?
Yeah, if someone dies as a result of poisoning from an opioid or heroin, for example, then it's up to the coroner to decide the intent. If a person did it intentionally, then it would be counted as a suicide. If they did it accidentally, then it would be counted as an accidental poisoning.
I want to make sure I'm hearing you right. Suicide, these accidental poisonings, including overdoses and liver disease, these are happening with enough prevalence to turn that downward trend in mortality to an upward trend for these middle-aged white people.
That's correct. And when you look at the trends, not just in minority populations, but across the world, this is an age group that generally has seen improving death rates. We're able to diagnose and treat chronic diseases better. There are effective medications to help treat depression. Many of the accidental deaths from car crashes have been going down. Again, these results come from a fairly long time ago. They come from trends that began in the late 1990s until almost a decade ago. So we haven't seen the impact of relatively recent changes. For example, the Affordable Care Act was implemented after this study was completed.
But we're hearing a lot lately about opioid addiction as a growing problem now. It sounds like if these are older, this is older data, this is becoming a problem 10 years ago or more.
Well, there's always a lag between a problem that first becomes apparent by clinicians who are treating people one by one and the point where the general public becomes aware of it. And certainly people in the substance abuse field and physicians treating these patients, and in fact, coroners have been seeing this for decades. But it takes a long time, almost like the obesity epidemic, which really began almost two decades ago. It takes sometimes years, sometimes even decades for the public conscience to really be fully aware of it.
Talking to Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health about mortality rates on the rise from middle-aged white men and women. So you mentioned a common theme in these causes, a suicide, accidental poisoning, including overdose, liver disease, lifestyle and maybe a difficult life. This may be one of those cases we've talked about before where health isn't just about what we eat, our medicine, our healthcare. It's about something else in our lives. Is there something socioeconomically going on that's driving all this?
Well, there's no question that that's the case. We know that health is not just about healthcare. In fact, we estimate that really a minority, a small portion of the health of a person or of a community is related to the quality of your health care or your ability to access it, your lifestyle, your behaviors that you engage in, but also your social and economic status, your ability to have a job and get a good education. So those factors are kind of the foundation of a healthy community and obviously are the root causes of some of the trends we're seeing today.
As I understand it, a lot of the increase in mortality for middle-aged white men and women is happening in rural areas, more so than urban areas. Is that right? And if so, why?
Well, it is. In fact, just 30 minutes ago, I came from a meeting with researchers where we're beginning to explore these causes of death, but also thinking about the places where these causes of death are increasing. And certainly rural America is predominantly white and affected disproportionately by unemployment. We have seen, compared to urban areas, rural communities over the last decade have not seen the declines overall in premature death rates. So we know there are challenges in rural areas, but we really don't understand which rural areas, whether it's true across the nation or in certain regions of the country. So this study by Case and Deaton has really stimulated a lot of further analysis of the data that we have available.
How about healthcare access and mental health care access, where even if you might have a hard time getting it in a city, you're geographically maybe not very far from a source of service, where in a rural area, there might be one provider in a county in some cases, especially for mental health care. How big a factor is that?
It's an incredibly big factor. Remember, again, that this study was during a period when there were caps on mental health services that a person with mental illness might not have access to a provider, or if they did, the amount of insurance that would pay for it was capped. Also, this is before the Affordable Care Act, when 50 or 60 million people were without insurance or couldn't afford insurance. So those changes, those good changes that we've made, eliminating the mental health cap and providing insurance to people regardless of ability to pay, those hopefully will begin to turn the tide on this trend. And hopefully we're seeing historical trends that now are going in the other direction.
If those are happening now, we probably won't be able to measure them for 5-10 years. Is that right?
I would say that we should be able to begin to see some of the these trends. Unlike many chronic diseases like lung cancer or heart disease that develop over years and decades, accidental poisonings should be able to be addressed within days or weeks of an intervention. So our hope is that as the public begins to talk about this, that interventions that are available today and that work that have been proven to work can actually be reaching the people who need them.
We've been talking big picture, the data, the numbers. As a public health researcher, do you think it's important that someone is trying to find out the individual stories of the people who are making up these statistics?
Well, there's no question. I was quoted in a newspaper article nationally on this story, and I've gotten phone calls from people who've been affected by unemployment, by mental illness, and are feeling these health effects. So it is absolutely a story that not only comes across from looking at the data, but comes across community by community. And really, it's the collective sum of individual stories that we're talking about. But you don't have to go very far to hear from somebody who's had a family member affected by substance abuse or depression or suicide.
This new data that we started talking about, recent data, is this something that public health officials, public health researchers were already working on, or is this something that this is kind of a new wake-up call that's motivating us to try to tackle these problems?
I find it intriguing that we have all this data and we have federal and state agencies in charge of collecting and consolidating the data. But I think it was a wake-up call. These investigators were very clever to slice the data into these subgroups and probably driven by a hypothesis that with ailing economy and the recession, that there may be a subset of the population particularly affected. So I think it's a good example of sort of the continual examination of the population health data that combined with hearing individual stories. So I do think it's a wake-up call. It's not just an anecdotal case here and there. This is a pattern that has developed over decades and will take concerted effort to turn the other direction.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor and associate dean in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He joins us to talk about why middle-aged white people, white women in particular, are seeing their mortality rates going up, their life expectancy going down, and what can be done to turn that trend around.
Coming up after the news, with forests, prairies, lakes, and more, Wisconsin landscapes, each of their own particular beauty, we talk with a poet about cultivating a sense of wonder. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.